Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on a Monday. It always feels so good to get back and do this again. And we're very grateful that you spent the time with us, that you're here. I do believe it will reward listening today. Second hour, William Albrecht will be here, and we're going to answer Islam. We'll do a whole hour on answering Islam. We'll talk about the views of Jesus, how they differ in Islam and in Christianity. First hour, Dr. Greg Popcheck is here with us, and that's always a great thing when that happens. Today we're going to talk about, well, Christianity and people-pleasing. And is Christianity just a religion of people-pleasing? And are we just supposed to wear ourselves out pleasing other people? You can find Dr. Greg each day on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And he's got either 27 or 500 books, somewhere in that range. Hi, Dr. Greg Popcheck. Thanks very much for being here with us.
So you got me laughing there. Yeah, it's 20 yeah. books, but it's 20 I'll, books. I'll take
okay. it. Is yeah, it really?
That's right.
I didn't know you had counted them. You must have counted them recently, because I think one time I asked and you were like, I'm not exactly sure, but you must have done a count recently.
It's around that.
20. Holy smokes. Good for you. Lots of great books in there. And I think you've helped people very much with their parenting, with their marriages, definitely with dealing with difficult people. What's the name of the book on difficult people? I like that book a lot.
God help me, these people are driving me nuts. Yeah, making peace with difficult people.
Yeah, that's a very good. That helped me with my Catholic Answers work a lot. This is a difficulty that we Christians have, which is Christ is pretty clear with us that we are to be people for others, so to speak, mm-hmm. that we're supposed to love and care for others. And, many Christians think that constantly giving, never saying no, exhausting themselves, running themselves right out of energy is what Christ is talking about with that sacrificial love. So when he's calling us to sacrificial love, so what are we getting wrong if we think about love that way?
Well, what we're getting wrong is a couple of things. First of all, we want to make sure, and St. John Paul talks a lot about this, that we need to be loving, but we need to be loving in ways that are responsible. In fact, his very first book before he developed the whole theology of the body was titled Love and Responsibility. And it was a reflection on how we can love in ways that are authentically Christian, which involves two things. One, is what we're doing actually working for the good of the other person? Because a lot of times we give out of sentiment. I feel bad that they're struggling, or I feel bad and I want to say that I did something, right? But the thing I do isn't necessarily ordered to that other person's ultimate good. It's not necessarily helping bring out the best in them. It might be enabling them, or it might be doing something that's not good for me because I need to feel like I did something for them. So the first part is I need to make sure that anything that I do that's generous and loving really is working for the good of the other person. And secondly, I have to make sure that I'm offering that love in a way that actually works for me too. And that's not selfish. And let me explain what I mean by that, because the theology of the body really helps us understand that God built our needs into us, the needs that we have for rest, for nourishment, for love, for a well-balanced life. Those are things that are built into our body. And our body is sacred. It's part of creation that is divinized, if you will, because of the incarnation of Christ. And so that doesn't mean that we do whatever our bodies tell us to do or whatever our feelings tell us to do. But the theology of the body reminds us that those things are sacred. Those needs are a way that God speaks to us and tells us what we need to do to thrive. And so we bring those needs back to him and say, okay, Lord, you know, I want to be generous to others, but I also have these needs. I'm not sure how to attend to both sets of needs. Show me how to do that. And that's what the church calls the common good. The common good is when we seek solutions that work for everybody, because everybody who has needs has a right to have those needs met. We just have to be flexible, if you will, about the how and the when that we use to meet those needs. We can honor everybody's what, you know, what you need or what you want, as long as we can be flexible about the how and the when. And by doing that, we're able to pursue the common good, where I meet your needs in ways that work for my needs too. And so it's not a matter of me first, it's a matter of me too.
Wow. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest, if you are, maybe you are yourself a people pleaser, maybe you've had these kind of questions about finding right where those boundaries are. Maybe you've got questions about, have you burned out in ministry, that kind of thing, whatever. If you've got questions along this whole line, 888-318-7884. I'm so happy to hear you. I didn't think you were going to use, I just didn't see it coming, the Catholic social teaching in there and the idea of the common good, which is absolutely fundamental to Catholics. It's impossible for us to talk about our faith lived publicly without talking about the common good.
And I and the thing about the common good, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like we often think about that in terms of social justice issues, right?
Right,
and it certainly
right.
applies there. But it applies to all justice issues, including the ordering of marriage and family life, right? So a lot of times, you know, for example, I'll get the question, so do my spouse's needs matter more than my kids' needs? Or do I attend to the marriage first or the parenting needs first? And it's the wrong question, because either the answer to either of those questions violates the common good. It's more a matter of, okay, there's this whole pile of needs. It's our job as Christians to really pray and reflect and discern, how do we create a relationship that attends to all those needs in a manner that meets everybody else's needs too? And yeah. When I first say that, everybody's like, well, that's impossible. What if we want things that are conflicting? What if we want things that don't go along? And we can get into that, but because there's actually a way through that that's pretty straightforward. But that's the challenge. It's not whose needs get met. It's how do we work together to come up with a plan that does enable everybody's needs to get met. Because if we don't do that, we are violating the common good and somebody's going to suffer. And that's not Christian love.
All right, I'm going to push you just a little bit on this before we take the break, and then I'll let people get on the phone with you. If you've got questions about this properly ordered love that Dr. Greg Popchak is talking with us about today, 888-318-7884. All right. So what about the person will say to you, look, okay, I get it. And you're a psychologist and you've got all the psychology and everything, but Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And I'm going with Jesus on this. What do you think?
Yep. No, I think you should definitely go with Jesus on it, but you need to understand what Jesus was saying. So there are two ways to deny ourselves. And the way that most people think is actually more Buddhist than Christian. What do I mean by that? Well, the Buddha, Siddhartha, said that it was the only way we could achieve enlightenment was to deny all of our desires, all of our feelings, all, you know, good, bad, indifferent. The destruction of the self is the key to enlightenment and nirvana. That's not the Christian view. The Christian view is that God gave us our needs. He built them into our bodies and he pronounced them good. But our relationship with our needs is flawed because of the fall, because of selfishness and because of sin. So we have to deny our drive to meet our needs how and when we want to. And so instead of just getting what I want, how I want, and when I want it, it's a matter of I'm bringing my needs to the Lord and saying, look, I'm denying myself. I'm not going to pursue what I want, when I want, and how I want. I'm bringing it to you, Lord. Teach me when and how to meet these needs in a way that is generous to others so that I can get my needs met and also fulfill the needs of the people that you place in my life.
Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest, lines are open. You are welcome to call with your questions. Is this an issue in your family, maybe? Is it at your workplace, in your ministry life? 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool and your homeschool co-op, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel, serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
This is Father Timothy Gallagher, an oblate of the Virgin Mary. Catholic radio accompanies us in the car when we drive, when our hands are busy but our minds are free. It can fill those spaces and bring us close to the Lord and help us grow in the understanding of our faith and deepen our way of living that faith each day.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest. And there's just more to life, you know? That's the way I feel about it. There's just more to life, which you can watch each weekday. Oh, no, watch. I guess you can probably watch it. Do you do video with your audio or do you just do audio?
Not yet.
Oh, you're going to do video.
There's something exciting coming that I'm not going to talk about just yet.
I bet it's video.
You can listen. You can listen to. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to just take a shot in the dark. I mean, a huge surprise is coming. I bet it. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin anything.
You can listen to More to Life every day at 10 a.m. Eastern. On EWTN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 130. And you can also tune in anytime for the podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or you can call right now, 888-318-7884. The central mystery of life, the central mystery of certainly of the Christian faith is the Blessed Trinity. And is there a way in which the thinking of the Blessed Trinity as three persons but never violating one another, never that always being able to be in a perfect community with one another gives us hope that actually achieving the common good is possible?
Wow, Si, that's just crazy talk. No, I'm just kidding.
That's just crazy talk.
Crazy talk. because anytime I'm talking about relationship, right, all of a sudden I reach in my back pocket and pull out the Trinity. You're like, where's that coming from? How could that possibly be helpful? So let's walk through the math on this.
Okay.
So we are made in the image and likeness of God, right? And God is three persons and one God, right? Well, in a similar way, with the Father, the way the Father, Son, Holy Spirit relate to each other orders the way healthy Christian relationships ought to be as well. So St. Bonaventure gives a great illustration of this. He talks about the Trinity as being a three-bucket water wheel, okay? And each bucket is constantly always emptying itself out for the good of the other. So the Father, Son, Holy Spirit always emptying themselves out for the good of the other. But the buckets are always being immediately filled back up by the other two buckets so that none of the buckets run dry. That's the model, according to St. John Paul, for healthy Christian relationships, especially marriage and family relationships, that we're called to give ourselves generously to others, but everybody else in the relationship is called to give generously back to us so that we can be fully consumed with giving ourselves to each other instead of protecting ourselves from each other. And so when we can follow that Trinitarian example of love by making sure that, yes, we are giving generously, but also expecting the people who claim to love us to give back to our needs as well, so we can be honest about what our needs are, even while others are being honest with their with us about their needs, and then working together, like we were talking about in the last segment, to really facilitate that common good where everybody gets their needs met because we're being flexible about how and when those needs get met.
You know, every time that you're on, this is actually true, I'm not just messing with you. I feel like there's one concept that I take away that I'll go, that one's gonna stay with me. And this idea of applying the common good, which I always have thought of as this big kind of social justice thing, you know, like when we're talking about labor unions and that kind of thing, we're talking but applying it to the family and to the marriage, this is like a life changer if you really do this.
Well, and I think that's where it has to start because, you know, the family is the building block of a holy church and a just society. And so if we're not living out things like the common good and other principles of Catholic social teaching at home, we've got crumbling bricks. We can't build a just society because we don't have just families.
All right, let's. Is you okay to go to the phones? I'm ready to go to the phones. If you're
Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Matt in Tucson, Arizona, watching on YouTube. Matt, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Hey, Dr. Greg, I'm calling, which I struggle with the topic of the day greatly. I'm a new Catholic. Mm-hmm. My wife is not a Catholic yet, and my kids, they're above the age of reason, so I can't baptize them. So I'm learning about the faith and also trying to learn how to teach it, because I don't think what got me reading the Didache doesn't interest my family that much, you know, church fathers and all that. So okay. I struggle with how to start teaching them, and which they believe in God in a general sense, and they accept Jesus mm-hmm. probably in a general sense, like a non-denominational Protestant would. They're not baptized or of any sort. The religious life is new to us. For me, I do struggle with the time, and how do I give my time to, I know God's a priority, then it's my wife, my kids, and so on. I sometimes feel guilty about, do I give them too much? And then at the same time, I'm really interested in the theology of Catholicism, but I'm sensitive to pushing people away, and you know, mm-hmm. like what's interesting me might not interest them.
Just so I understand, I just have one clarifying question here. So what does it mean to you to give God his due? Like what is it that you feel like you owe to God that conflicts with your ability to be present to your family, for example?
Well, I'm learning about all that. And I guess I would think giving God, you're supposed to give your whole self to him. And I watch videos on that all the time. What does that even actually mean? Like I give it all to mm-hmm. you. Like I give every, my joys, my gifts, my struggles, I'm supposed to give it all. But what is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, sometimes I don't know if I'm doing that or not, because I don't know what that
let's,
really
let's
means.
Talk about it.
Like,
all right. Well, let's talk about it. So okay. so the way we give ourselves to God is through others. Right. So let's for the sake of argument, imagine that God gave you your wife and kids, not just because he has a warped sense of humor, but also because he gave them certain needs. And by you responding generously to their needs in ways that allow you to meet your needs, too, you are actually responding to the voice of God, inviting you to grow in ways that you never would have grown if he hadn't given you those people, right? So you respond to God speaking to you through the needs of your wife and children, and you learn to lean into the grace that you're receiving because of your renewed spiritual life, and asking God, help me be the husband and father that my wife and kids need me to be. Teach me how to love them the way you want me to love them. Teach me how to love them the way you love them, the way you love me. And then you listen to how he's speaking to you through their needs, and you attend to them in ways that you maybe didn't have the courage to do before. Because the one thing that we all love more than our spouse and our kids is our own comfort zone, right? I love being comfortable. I love my routines. I love my preferences. I love my way of doing things. And so when my wife comes and says, hey, Greg, could you help me with this? Or could you do that? Or could you be a little bit more this or a little bit more that? You know, my first reaction is, well, no, that's just not really me. Thanks very much and all. But what's really happening there is that God is inviting me to grow in those ways through my wife and through my kids. And by responding generously to them, I'm giving myself totally to him, because I'm living for him through others. And by doing that, again, in ways that also allow me to meet my needs, the needs he's placed on my heart, I am learning to respond to his voice and grow in ways that he would want me to grow. And I'm also ministering to my kids, right? The best way to evangelize your wife and kids isn't by quoting Thomas Aquinas to them or the catechism, although there's nothing wrong with learning about those things. It's about showing them that your prayer life and that your conversion, it's been a real conversion of heart that has opened you up in ways that you were never open before. You know, that you're being generous and loving and affectionate and affirming and supportive in ways that you just didn't have the courage to be before. And so, you know, I think that when and this is the tall order, I recognize we can't all do this overnight, but this is sort of what we need to aim for, is that when we encounter Christ, it should empower us and challenge us to love the people around us in such a way that they look at us and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you being so nice to me? and that's an opportunity to say, you know, I know I'm different, but, you know, I realize how much God loves me and how much he loves you. And that's really inspiring me to try to level up a little bit and love you the same way. And so I'm glad that you're seeing the effort that I'm making, but it's all God. And so praise him. Yeah, and that's how we evangelize our families. That's the best way anyway. And then if they ask questions, well, then, you know, by all means, read the catechism, learn more about Thomas Aquinas, discover more about Catholic theology and the theology of the body and all of it. But the main way to really live for God and to evangelize others is through that witness of love.
Yes. I agree with that. It all comes back to love. Here's another. I'm new to the prayer life. So when it comes to hearing an answer back from prayer, I don't always hear an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll speak to God and I'll ask God mm-hmm. for discernment. You know, I get it. We're stewards and we're here to, God's not going to probably arbitrarily tell you how to do everything. I guess if it contradicted him, maybe that's a little more obvious. So maybe there is no one right way to do things.
But no, that's a slightly different question, but a bigger question. But do we have time to get into that, Si?
Yes,
right
you do have time. Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Cool. Okay. All right. So you're asking kind of how do I hear God's voice? And you hit on the first thing. God's never going to ask you to do anything that violates the commandments or church teaching, right? Because that's all part of a conversation that God's been having with his people for 4,000 years. And he's not going to suddenly make an exception because, oh, wait a minute, there's one person who that 4,000-year-old conversation doesn't apply to. So he's not going to contradict any of that. But then beyond that, God speaks to us. Well, the first way, St. Ignatius of Loyola talks a lot about this. The first way is by kind of whapping us upside the head, like he did with St. Paul, right? But St. Ignatius said that the God tends to reserve that for things we couldn't know on our own. So like St. Paul couldn't know he was supposed to go from, you know, killing Christians to not only being one, but being the greatest evangelist that Christianity has ever seen. So God needed to knock him off his horse for that. And we've all had those experiences where we couldn't possibly know that God was asking us to do something unless we had this huge experience. But if God hasn't given us that huge experience, the second way he speaks to us is through a sort of an acclimation of the heart. It's like watching the sun come up, right? So you're you know, watching the sunrise. First, it's dark on the horizon, and then it kind of gets brighter and brighter and brighter, suddenly you see the sun. Well, St. Ignatius said that's like whenever we're having to choose between two good things, and we keep bringing that to prayer, and we keep asking God, which one do you want us to do? One of them starts just feeling better than the other, and we can't necessarily always explain it, but because we're leading a holy life and we're bringing this to God in prayer, one just feels more right. But the third way is through our intellect and reason. And we have a tendency to deny that and discount that because, well, that's just my voice. That's not God. But St. Ignatius reminded us that God gave us our intellect and our reason, and he wants to teach us how to use it. And so the most common way God speaks to us is when we bring our intellect and our reason to God in prayer and say, Lord, help me make the best decision possible. And one of the ways we use our intellect and reason, especially in going back to the question you started off with, is by listening to our wife and our kids and saying, okay, you know what, guys, what do you need? Tell me what you need. I don't necessarily know I'm going to be able to figure it out right away, but I'm going to pray about it. Or maybe we could all pray about it together and figure out ways to get those needs met. But know that God is speaking to us through the people he's placed in our life. And we use our intellect and reason to open up our hearts, listen to what they're saying, listen to what God's saying to us through them, and then pray together to figure out how to meet those needs. So that's kind of a whole, I mean, you know, what, a 4-minute a summary on Ignatian discernment as applied to marriage and family life. But yeah, I would really encourage you to, you know, download the podcast, play it over and over again to really just dive deep into understanding how God is really speaking to you and how to integrate that into your marriage and family life.
Okay, Matt?
Thank you.
Thank you. Say again where people can get the podcast.
At your Catholic.org, right?
I'm so sorry.
The Catholic Answers podcast, wherever you get your Catholic Answers podcast.
I misunderstood where you were.
They can also learn more
going.
About my work at CatholicCounselors.com.
There you go. CatholicCounselors.com. Darren's waving at me like, right here. You can get it right here. Okay. I got myself crossed up there. Let's go real quick. Oh, by the way, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're talking about that Christian call to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. But does that mean you need to burn yourself out? Does that mean you can't have boundaries? Does that mean there are no limits? Well, we're talking with Dr. Greg Popchak about that, and you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Sucre is right here in California watching on YouTube. Sucre, go ahead with your question.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. My question is regarding a husband and father's role in protecting the family. So if there are threats to the family or if there's been a wrong done and it's already happened. I know the Bible says leave vengeance for the Lord.
It does.
So my question is, as a Catholic, is there any time that taking, let's just say, retaliation into our own hands, is that ever not sinful?
Okay.
Is there wiggle room in that with Catholic teaching?
Looking for
Can
wiggle
I ask,
room.
Is there an actual situation that we're talking about here, or are we just talking academically?
Oh, no. No, yeah, just hypothetically.
Oh, okay. Hypothetically. So hypothetically, my brother and no, I'm just kidding. It's never okay to seek vengeance, right? It's never okay to pursue revenge against somebody, to hurt someone for having hurt us. That just basically adds fuel to the fire. That's actually the sin of wrath, right? So the sin of wrath is when we make a disproportionate, inappropriate, unproductive response to an offense. Whereas righteous anger always leads us to an appropriate, productive, and proportionate response, right? So you've hurt me, and I'm going to respond in a way that leads to hopefully healing in some way. Now, I can also hold you accountable for what you did, and we can talk more about that, but when we come back to the
break. Thanks, Greg. Sorry about that. We do have to take a quick break when the music plays. I got no choice about that, but we will come back and finish the answer to that question. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884.
The world has a lot of questions about Catholicism. It's a big faith, and it deserves a big book of answers. Well, now it has two. Get the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, and have 300 clear, reliable Catholic answers right at your fingertips whenever something comes up at work, with friends, or around the dinner table. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers, Volume 2, at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Want to be a more powerful witness for Christ? One of the most powerful evangelization tools you can acquire is, in fact, courtesy. The apostolate of courtesy is just the message the church needs in this time of diminished social grace. Inspired by St. Francis de Sales, author Robert Grieving shows how everyday manners, whether in conversation or emails, can make us powerful witnesses for Christ. Get the apostolate of courtesy today at shop.catholic.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. I'm going to let you finish answering this one, and then we should talk a little bit about CatholicCounselors.com and what that is, and, mm-hmm. and what people can get there. But Sucre
sure.
Wanted to know about, you're the father of a family, some offense is done to the family. Is it always sinful to act, if you take retribution or if you take vengeance to protect the family?
Yeah, so I was making a distinction between, say, holding somebody accountable for their actions versus taking vengeance on them.
Yeah.
And if I'm taking vengeance, I'm just hurting them for having hurt me. But I can hold someone accountable, for example, I can say, listen, what you did was hurtful, and unless you can repent and unless I can know you can be safe to be around, then I can't have you around my family anymore, or we can only be around you in these contexts or these situations. And, and I'm not going to do that to punish you. I'm doing that to say, if you really love us and you're willing to work to heal the damage that you did and be safe to be around moving forward, then I can let those boundaries go. But until then, for your good and for my good, we have to have these boundaries in place. And that's something that a lot of people get confused about, because we think that putting boundaries up is mean, but it's actually removing a near occasion of sin for people. You know, if I've come to you and I said, you know, Si, when you did that, it really hurt me. And you're like, I'm sorry, your skin is so thin. You should be able to take a joke. Well, if I continue to be around you in that context, what I am, I'm tempting you to do things that are hurtful and that are sinful against me and the people that I love. And so I don't want to be a near occasion of sin for you. So I'm going to remove that temptation. I'm either going to remove myself, or I'm going to remove myself from those particular situations that you can't handle. But the goal there isn't to be mean to you. It's to say, you know what, I don't want to put you in a situation where you can't handle yourself.
Yeah.
And by hurting me. So I'm going to use these boundaries to make our relationship safe. Or if I can't make the relationship safe, then at least make us safe from each other. And when we do the work that we need to do to heal ourselves or heal a relationship, well, then we can revisit that. But in the meantime, setting that boundary is all about working for the good. So, you know, we can always hold other people accountable, because that's part of what it means to work for their good. But we can never act in ways that are vengeful or hurtful because we are angry at somebody hurting us. That's the sin of wrath.
If I could just add one thing, because our caller has gone, but does that include ghosting people? Ghosting, this whole contemporary thing of ghosting, I get it, sometimes you just need to get away from a person, but it actually seems mean to me.
It is mean. Well, because they don't know what they did, right? Yeah. So if you're going to set a boundary, you have an obligation to let the person know what it would take to let the boundary go.
Yeah.
So like if I say to you, you know, look, as long as you're going to behave that way, I can't be around you. I want this relationship to work, but I need you to not be able to not do that anymore. And if you say to me, well, Greg, you know, that's crazy. I should be able to do whatever I want around you. And how dare you not be Christian enough to let me do that? Well, then I can say, then I'm afraid that you love doing that hurtful thing more than you love me, so I can't be in your life anymore until that changes. But just to disappear from your life, that's mean and cowardly, frankly.
Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest, Mortal Life, with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck in mornings on EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. But also, Dr. Popcheck is the founder of CatholicCounselors.com. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what people can find there?
Yeah. So it's a pastoral counseling practice. I have 20 full-time pastoral counselors on our team, and we work with Catholics all over the world, helping them transform their marriage, family, and personal lives in the light of God's grace. And it's a lot of the kind of work that we're talking about here. You know, are we allowed to set boundaries? What does forgiveness really look like? How do we work toward healthy relationships in every part of our life? And really, so we're trying to help people with the timeless wisdom of our Catholic faith and contemporary insights from counseling psychology to live more abundant marriage, family, and personal and spiritual lives. And so that's what pastoral counseling is all about, and that's what CatholicCounselors.com stands for.
Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. They've been doing counseling, remotely?
Telecounseling, telecounseling. Probably since 1999.
Since 1999. I mean, that's before. Yep, yep. That was before the invention of the telephone. It was very hard to do.
Yes. We used to string tin cans. We would send people a can and a string, and then we just yell really loud. Yeah. It was hard, but you know.
But technology
is all for
itself.
The kingdom, man. All for the kingdom.
All right. Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Welcome, Tom. You got a question for Dr. Greg?
Thank you. Yes, I do. Just looking up statistics right now while I'm talking, and I see here that in the United States, the age group, I think from 25 years old to 55 or something like that, the division of singles and marrieds is about even. Okay, so my question is, why is it that on these questions like those you've been taking, and not just you, but virtually everyone that talks about these things, they only use the examples of, usually, of families and marrieds. Well, how does what you're saying apply to this vast number of singles?
The exact same way, right? So I mean, I don't know if you have a specific example that you'd like to walk me through, if you'd like, but basically, you know, the same idea. God has given every person their needs, and when I say needs, I don't just mean survival needs. Biology talks about needs as the things that allow an organism to thrive, right? So the glory of God is man fully alive, said St. Irenaeus, right? And so we by meeting the needs that God's given us, we thrive. But we have to learn how to meet those needs in ways that allow us to be generous to others. So what that means is, in all of our relationships, whether we're talking about marriage relationships, family relationships, or just, you know, friendship relationships, relationships that I have as a single person, it's all about how acknowledging that I have these needs that have a right to be met, but I have to be willing to pursue those needs in ways that allow me to be generous to you too. So the kind of kitschy way I put it is to say you don't negotiate the what, but you negotiate the how and the when. So what I need and what you need are sacred. They're given to us by God. But how and when we work to meet those needs can be flexible. And as long as we can be flexible about the how and the when, 99.9% of our what's can be responded. It can be resolved. So, I mean, if you can think of an example where, you know, in the single life where that might not be true, by all means, run it past me. But the principle applies universally. In all of my relationships, I have a right to have my needs met as long as I pursue those needs in a way that leaves me open to your needs. And the best way to do that is be flexible about the how and the when, even though I am really being faithful to my what and your what.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, I can see that what you're saying is true enough. When it comes to singles and friendships, you know, all kinds of bonded friendships and things where that's true. But there's a lot of singles that their relationship or mainly chiefly at their work site. And there's not a lot of love there usually.
But I mean, it's still about, I mean, even when that's the case, all right, so if somebody is taking advantage of you, what that means then is that you have a right to set boundaries in that situation to the degree that you're able, so that you can make sure that your needs are being met even while you give what is justly due to your employer. You know, the work product that you owe them, the time that you owe them, you know, you don't need to submit yourself to abuse or, you know, demeaning treatment, but you do have an obligation to justly give to them what is their due, even while you set the boundaries that protect your dignity as well. So the same principle applies in lots of different cases.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Where, how do you set boundaries as a Christian? How do you set boundaries with other people and still maintain the disposition of Christian love towards other people? And I even the way I asked the question, I think Dr. Greg would probably take exception with. He'd probably say, I'm just guessing here, you would probably say, well, this one is not however of the other one, that they are both part of the same
right.
thing, that love to love properly is to have proper boundaries.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, not that I know anything about gardening, frankly, but you know, if you have a rose bush and you want that rose bush to thrive, sometimes you have to cut it back. And the same thing can be true of relationships. You know, I want my relationships to thrive. I want to always be able to be closer to you. But every once in a while, we're going to trip over each other. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to hurt each other's feelings. And it's helpful to kind of step back and say, well, you know what? Before we go any further here, let's look at this and see what it would take to resolve that. And so I'm going to set a boundary where I'm you know, we're going to pause the other parts of our relationship to kind of work on this piece of it. And if you're willing to work with me on that, then great. We can continue to grow closer to each other in healthy and safe and holy ways. But if one of us isn't willing to work with the other, then that boundary needs to stay. The way I like to think about it is like a construction site. You know, you go on a construction site where they're remodeling something, and sometimes parts of the building are taped off because it's not safe to go there, right? Well, that's what a boundary is, right? It tapes off the unsafe parts of the relationship that's being remodeled, right? So we can walk around here, we can talk about these things, we can do these other things together, but when we go over here, we have a tendency to trip over things and get hurt. So we're going to tape that off, and you know, and we're going to keep working on it, and at some point, hopefully, we'll be able to have the grand opening. But in the meantime, for your good and for my good, we're not going to leave that hazardous site open. We're going to focus on the parts of our relationship where we can be safe and healthy.
Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest, your calls welcome, 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
No prayer is useless. All prayer has power. If you say the rosary, it's real prayer because it's a mini scripture. If you say a novena prayer, it's a real prayer. It's just somebody there to help you when your mind is blank, to give glory and praise to God, to be humble and ask for whatever it is you want. All prayer is pleasing to God if it's done with a grateful, loving heart.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Dr. Greg Pupchek is our guest. CatholicCounselors.com is where you can find out all about what he does. Also, the show More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Pupchek, and 20 books. So you just check out the reviews. The reviews are wonderful. Actually, it does seem to me that the theological knowledge that you have, the psychological, all this theoretical knowledge, is put to practical use for people. Somehow, if you get the, like you talked about the theology of the theology of the body in a way that most people don't talk about the theology of the body. It was very practical about how your body actually tells you something about what God wants for you.
That's right. And that's, you know, people tend to think that the theology of the body is just about sexual relationships, and it certainly is about that. But St. John Paul, when he wrote it, said that his goal was to present what he called an anthropology, you know, in other words, a Christian vision of thriving for the human person. What does it mean for the human person to really live a fulfilling life, to live an abundant life? And so it really applies, meant to apply to everything. And so that's what we do at CatholicCounselors.com. We really take that vision of the person that's articulated through the theology of the body especially, and try to apply it to personal and relationship and spiritual and practical challenges. And we have yet to find a place that it doesn't apply. So we're very, very grateful for St. John Paul and his work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he based it on another guy who came before him. So, I mean, yeah, we could say John Paul.
A few guys.
There's also Jesus of Nazareth had something to say about this.
There's a little fella. I have to bring Jesus into it.
I'd give him credit.
You go, bringing Jesus into everything, man.
Whenever I do that, I'm thinking about my personal judgment. I'll be like, remember how many times I brought you up? Like, that's my plan, Greg. Johnny has a question for you. Johnny, go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Pupchek.
Hey, so my question is, I'm 18 and there's a girl I'd like to ask out on a date, but I'm a bit afraid she's going to say no. How do I confidently ask her out without being afraid of her rejecting me?
Ooh, if you figure that out, you let me know.
No, I know every other guy on earth would like to know the answer to that, Johnny. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
You know what? It's not a matter of not feeling the fear. It's about really praying through how do I feel the fear and do what I believe God is calling me to anyway. And here's the thing. Don't be afraid of getting it wrong, okay? Because we have a tendency to think, you know, if I'm praying about this and I do it and then she, you know, like rejects me or whatever, then God, you know, I got it wrong. God didn't want me to do that. I messed up. And now not only was I rejected by this girl, but God's mad at me too because I messed it all up. But sometimes, right?
Oh my gosh, that's so Catholic.
But sometimes... Yeah, right. But sometimes, you know what, God asks us to do things not just because of the result that we want to get out of it, but because of the result he needs. So, for example, maybe I need to learn to stand up to that fear, to do things that like God asked Abraham, right, to sacrifice Isaac. But at the very last minute, he held his hand back and said, no, I just needed you to learn that there's nothing more important than me. I didn't want you to really kill your son. I wanted you to know, you know, and so, right. And a similar way, you know, that we do these things, we pray and it's like, okay, I really really feel led to ask this girl out. I feel like God's putting this on my heart, and I'm praying about it, and I'm giving it to Him, and it's not going away. So I'm terrified, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you know, either that God blesses that and you get a relationship out of it, or God blesses it and you don't, but you've learned something about yourself and about how it's not a catastrophe to do something even when you're afraid and have it not quite turn out the way you thought.
What do you think?
I know that's easy for me to say.
Yeah.
But that's an important,
He's already married.
Life lesson there because that enables you. Yeah, somehow that worked out. I don't know. I got zero games. So there's plenty of hope for you, man. But really. But I think that either way, I think if you're really praying about it and you're asking if God wants you to do this, then don't feel like you're going to get it wrong. Do what God has placed on your heart, face that fear, and learn from the experience either way.
Okay, that really helps. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, Johnny, thank you very much.
Well, it's kind of you to say that. I don't know how much it would have helped me in your spot, but I'm glad you feel that way.
I mean, if I could translate, it was kind of just was like, man up. That's kind of what you said. Like, I know you're afraid, but you gotta man up. Yeah. But I don't know, Dr. Greg. I mean, at my age, I haven't known for decades what people are doing out there. But you were expected to ask girls out. That was an expected thing when I was young. I don't know.
Still are. It's still true.
Okay, good. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it is. Yeah.
I'm really glad I didn't have text when I was a kid, because I probably would have like text. Nah, maybe not. Because maybe that's worse. Because then it's in writing. Yeah. No, I don't know.
There's a record.
Yeah, there's a record.
It goes on your permanent record.
Yeah, I don't want this on my permanent rejection on my permanent record. No one's going to reject Johnny, though. Johnny's the sweetest guy. All right, let's go to Mary. Thank you for the call, Mary. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi. So I think I'm having a trauma response. And I just wanted to check in and see if I was missing something. Because you just talked about fear, and I'm definitely very afraid. We just moved across the country to pick up with a legacy business that is currently operating on my parents' shared property. But they've been under duress for at least a decade with basically a farm, a family farm that's being kind of like, well, now it's being sold off in pieces to meet a lawyer, a bunch of lawyers' costs. So I think I'm having this trauma response because my parents have been in duress for this long, and I don't know if my family home's going to make it or not, or if we're going to have the money to, I think at the end of the day, even with a settlement, we might have to come up with money to, when I say we, I mean my parents. I'm just like, even though we can go, my husband still has employment in New York, even though we're not, it's not that we have no options. I'm wondering if I'm missing something, because blood my body.
I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty fraught situation. I mean, so can you know, like, I'm not clear on what you're asking exactly. Are you asking, should you do it, or you should, like, what, how do you know what God's calling you? Like, what are you asking exactly here?
How to set boundaries, maybe, or how to,
what would the boundary be exactly,
something?
Though?
Like
if you were going to set a boundary, what would that look like?
I don't know what I'm asking. I guess I'm wondering, like, why am I having this trauma? Is this a trauma response, like, coming into this situation? Like, I guess I'm afraid that I'll get sucked into work my dad's doing, or I don't know.
No, so a trauma response is if, let's say, you hurt me, and I'm, let's say, talking to somebody else, and they do something that reminds me of the way you hurt me, and I react to them as if I was reacting to you.
Okay.
That would be a trauma response. But what you're describing is just, I think it might be prudence, right? Prudence is that sort of fear that says, hey, have you looked at this? You know, I mean, the way you're describing the situation, it sounds like what you're saying is that there are financial issues that could be a black hole that sucks your whole family down the toilet, right? I mean, is that kind of what I'm picking up on?
Well, kind of. And we know about that boundary in the sense that we're not going to get financially involved with that side of things.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, we're not, I feel like we have the basics of the prudence down. I guess why I'm bringing up trauma is because my extended family still wants us to not be there. So it's kind of like moving into a place that is,
not welcome.
Obviously, if it doesn't, basically not welcome.
Oh, okay, well, so
big
here's
sign,
so,
not
so,
welcome.
So the, so, right, so the fear, okay, so the fear that we feel, I think that the first thing we need to do is kind of bring it to prayer and say, okay, Lord, you know, are there are there real concerns that you're trying to highlight for me, that you're speaking to me through this fear that I should pay attention to, that maybe I've been glossing over or not being as serious about as I need to? And second question, you know, help me, Lord, to know how to resolve those concerns. If I can't come up with a plan to address those concerns, then that's a pretty good sign that I should stay away from the thing. Right, but if I'm able to address those concerns and say, well, you know what, I'm going to address them in these ways, or, you know, this concern doesn't really matter as much as I thought it did when I look at it, or, you know, if we do A, B, and C, then that kind of crosses off concern 1, 2, and 3, and that's okay. But like you're praying through and you're being intentional about responding to the fears. Alternatively, if we feel fearful and we pray about it and there's no specific concern that's brought to our attention, then that we can say that's just anxiety, which may be very well be a temptation from the enemy to not do something that God might be calling us to. But it's really all about taking those fears to prayer and reflecting, what are the concerns that those fears are highlighting? Is it possible to either resolve those concerns or address them in a way that makes it safe and sensible to move forward or not? And then I can use kind of my prudent judgment to decide what to do next. So that's what I would suggest, that you know, you're in that process already. You kind of made some of those decisions around the financial piece of it, but maybe you need to look a little closer at the familial, you know, the social aspects of it, the, you know, the costs. And I know when I say costs, I don't mean financial costs necessarily, but like the emotional and social costs of moving your family or being in an environment where you're not welcome. You know, how would you deal with those concerns? Don't just gloss over those things. I think that's what the fear is trying to speak to. Does that make sense?
Okay. That's really helpful. Yeah. I think that the distinction between legitimate, like, okay, can we address these fears, and then anxiety, I think that those are the two things that I'm dealing with. And, yeah, good. Basically, I was checking in with you to see, so I'm having this anxiety. Is it anxiety, you know, and or is it a temptation? Yeah. So that's very helpful. Yes.
Or prudence. Well, and actually, I talk more about this in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And you can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com. It really talks a lot about the different types of fear and what's healthy, what's not, how do we respond to it. So again, that's Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and it's available at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you'd like more help kind of walking through this in a more personalized way, you can always reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com for some pastoral counseling as well. Whatever we can do to help.
Okay, thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary.
God bless you.
You bet. Thank you, Mary.
Oh, God bless you, Mary. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Greg Pupchak, our guest this hour, and we've been talking about the difficulty, really, I think, for the Christian person who wants to follow Jesus in his self-giving love, but knows that there has to be limits on that so that a human life can be lived. Maybe I'll ask you just about the widow who gave out of her poverty. Why do you think Jesus holds her up as a model for the disciples?
Sure. Well, she, you know, he does hold her up as a model to the disciples because she's willing to give and really trust the Lord to provide for her needs. But, you know, so it's a witness of trust, right? It's a witness of her giving what she had, but Jesus isn't necessarily saying that we should give imprudently or that we should deny ourselves. We don't know the rest of the widow's story, right? Jesus presumably did. And in every case, I mean, you were pointing out to me over a break that, you know, there are lots of times where Jesus set boundaries, right? Where, you know, he certainly did suffer when his mission required him to do so. But there were other times where he gave as good as he got with the Pharisees, the crowd was trying to kill him and he disappeared from their midst. You know, there were lots of times where Jesus did set boundaries with people or took steps to protect himself or make sure that his needs were met by going off and taking time in the desert to be by himself and reflect, or going out on the boat by himself so that he could just get some time away. You know, there were lots of times where he met his needs, but he did it in a way that allowed him to still be generous to others.
Yeah.
And that becomes our model too.
Yeah, I think of him on the Temple Mount at Hanukkah, but which they called, they didn't call Hanukkah in those days. Tell us, just tell us, are you the Messiah or not the Messiah? He says, look, I already, you know who I am. You don't need me to say, like, he's just not going to allow them to recruit him to be the leader of a revolution at that moment. He's just right. So clear. No, right. I'm not interested in answering that your questions at this moment. I'm taking a walk. Right now, our guest has been Dr. Greg Popcheck, CatholicCounselors.com. I highly recommend you check it out. If someone has a kind of temporary problem like that, like Mary just called with, and it's not a permanent life situation, but a temporary thing that they're really struggling with, can they call Catholic Counselors for that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we love to help folks with that stuff, too, because it's really, that's what stops the bigger problems from happening, right? Catching it.
Very good. Very good. Also, check out More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck every weekday morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. That'll do it for us this hour. But coming up, William Albrecht, and we're going to talk about Islam and Christianity. Similarities, differences, all that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.